reading is coming from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 to 18. On our Bibles, page 23, we read, The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has had your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has had your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, Say to the entire Israelite community, Come before the Lord, before he has had your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have had the grumbling of all the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to read the New Testament reading now, Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. We go page 581. It's carrying on from what happened back in the beginning of the chapter. So Herod has heard news about Jesus, and Herod's confused. He thinks Jesus is gone. And verse 13 picks up from that. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have there only five loaves of bread and two fish," they answered. bring them here to me, he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And they crossed over and landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought up all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just to touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll do that, keep that page open. We're going to be referring to it as we read God's word together now. Christians believe that Jesus is Lord, and we say that, and Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. He is the one who will be ruler in the new creation, in the next life that we are looking forward to, a life without death, without sickness, without conflicts. But what kind of person is that Jesus? That's his place, that he is King, he is ruler. What kind of person is he? And we find what kind of person he is as we read about him in the New Testament accounts. Last week we read in Matthew that Jesus, the King, was misunderstood. His hometown misunderstood him. He can't really be so special. He only is like he was a kid at the Latin school. And then King Herod, as we've seen, went to Britain, when he misunderstood him, he thought he was John the Baptist, another person. Somehow risen from the dead. Today we're going to read about Jesus with his disciples. We have a better understanding of Jesus. And we're going to think what's happened in these episodes and what have we learned of Jesus of Nazareth. What's happened in these episodes and what have we learned of Jesus of Nazareth? So, verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he hears that Herod knows about his fame, and that's a danger. Herod, the king, doesn't want people who he thinks is causing trouble, so Jesus withdraws. At one time, he will give up his life. Jesus will willingly give up his life, but it's not yet, so he withdraws for now. Then he has compassion. Verse 14, when Jesus landed in a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. Compassion means he has concern, he cares, he feels for them, and in his compassion he does what they need, he heals. Then the disciples come to him with this problem. Verse as far from the villages and the towns and the countryside, but rather the general message is Jesus does this extraordinary miracle. First one, he says, "Do you give them something to eat?" Well, how can they do that? What does Jesus meaning by that? Just in verse 16, Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." How can they do that? Well, we know from other parts of the Bible that they've seen Jesus as a wedding at Cana, where they ran out of wine. And Jesus turned a whole amount of water into wine for that wedding. He's able to do that sort of miracle. He can provide. So when Jesus says, "You give them something to eat," what they need to say is, "Please, Jesus, will you give it to us so we can give it?" They need to put their trust in him. But they don't yet understand. So Jesus takes what they've got, gets the people to sit down, and then he shares it, verse 19, and he told the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Now, this is nothing to do with the Lord's Supper, or what's called Holy Communion, which we're going to have later. What happens here is what happens at every ordinary Jewish meal. The father of the house would take the bread, would look to heaven, say thank you to God, would break it, tear the bread, and then pass it out. It's just an ordinary thing that they did. So Paul did this one time when it was a group of people not believing in God at all. So it's not a special ceremony. It's just the beginning of the meal. But the meal is anything but ordinary, isn't it? What has happened? What have we learned about Jesus of Nazareth? He has supernatural power. You know, in order to provide for all the people from this small amount of food. And that is because he is the king. He is in control of the ordinary in the universe, the ordinary things that happen day by day. That man and the sun is shining, it's just come out and shining into this room. And in the daytime. But later today, the planet will turn on its axis, the sun will go down behind the horizon as we see it, and it will be night. And that happens night by day throughout our lives. Jesus is in control of all the regular sorts and processes. He controls the ordinary, what we call the natural things. He's above it, he's supernatural. And so he can step into the universe and do something out of the ordinary, what we call extraordinary. He can step into the universe and do something that doesn't fit with what is the normal natural process and do something supernatural. But why does he choose to do this? He doesn't go to the moon. That would be impressive, wouldn't it? Wow, Jesus can fly to the moon. They didn't need him to give them all this food. The disciples arrived, they could have all gone after the villages and got the food they needed. So it wasn't that Jesus was satisfied with an emergency. But that's what the superheroes do, don't they, in the films. There's some crisis, they come in and sort out the crisis. Jesus isn't doing that here like a superhero. What he's doing is a signpost, it's a symbol. He's not just saying, "Look at me, I've got power," which you might have been if you'd flown to the moon. He's doing something that is like that event in the Old Testament when God gave the people food, the passage of boring bread. So there was a vast crowd in the wilderness, same as here with Jesus. And God had sent what is called manna to the people. He rescued his people from slavery. He was taking them out of Egypt to the promised lands where they would have life with him. And here they were on the way in the wilderness. They were running out of food. How are we going to get there? We're going to die. But God sent dew down from heaven, which was like flakes of a kind of bread that they could eat. He literally sent food from heaven. God was going to get them to the promised land, to new life with him. And Jesus is showing he has that same kind of power to provide. Jesus of Nazareth will get his people to new life with him in the new creation. And this action, this miracle, is what picture from the Old Testament of God rescuing these people from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Jesus is fitting that picture. So, Mark, we have a slide just to pick up this point. Jesus feeds the crowd. By the way, these people are escaping from Egypt. Jesus will get us home with him. I tell you what that is. I think that's in my computer back at home. That's why you can't charge. Sorry about that. I hope to have something to put on the screen. Jesus feeds the crowd. Like when Israel were escaping from Egypt, Jesus will get us home with him. This is verse 22. Initially, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Again, he withdraws because he's deciding when things happen the way he wants them to happen. He's not going to let the crowd push him into making choices. And he prays. And he sent the disciples ahead of him in the boat. They're currently on the east side of the lake. They're going to go over to the west. He sent them off by early morning. They've done a fair way, but they're still struggling to make progress. By now, they should have arrived on the other side of the lake, the west side. But the boat is buffeted. That means it's pounded. It's beaten by the wind and the breath and the waves. Verse 24. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. They're struggling in the boat, but look at Jesus. Jesus has no trouble. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. If you've been to church as a child, or maybe become a Christian as an adult, I've read this a number of times, we can forget just how extraordinary that is. Just read that again. Jesus, right before the Lord, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. But then in English, you can put those words together to make a sentence, but does it really make sense? There was a human walking on water. You can forget it. And I got to Kampala in November, driven from the airport by my host to where we were staying at the conference. You know, there were enormous palm trees and beautiful birds there, and crazy traffic. And when I was on the light, look at my best, it's just another day in Kampala. And we can be like that with the Bible. Jesus walks on the water. That's what it says. Meant to be, make a jaw drop. It's extraordinary. The man on the edge of this carpet with water, and you were in boats on your seats, and I was walking on the water. You would be impressed. You'd be surprised. How is that happening? It's extraordinary. Which YouTube preacher is walking on water? Some of the famous YouTube preachers who get very rich by telling people who listen to them to send them money. They say they're doing miracles. They say they're healing. They say they can raise from the dead and they're walking on water. Where are the videos of that? Yeah, let's see that. Let's see them doing that. Well, the disciples think it's a ghost. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walk on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. They say they're crying out in fear. And what would you think? If a human walked on the waters towards you in gloom just before dawn, they don't understand that Jesus reassures them. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." So he's not saying there's nothing to be afraid of. It's reasonable to be scared on this lake that could swamp the boat and drown them. They're exhausted. It's a reasonable thing to be afraid. He's not saying there's nothing to be afraid of. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Why not? It is I. That's what Jesus said. I am here. And that phrase, "it is I," is a famous way that God introduced himself in the Old Testament. When Moses said, "Who are you?" What's your name? God said, "I am." So Jesus is using that. He says, fit with this same pattern of the Old Testament of God, of revelation. disciples, he's always bold, always ambitious, and often stretching beyond what he's confident to do. He wants to join in, and incredibly, he's able to. So, verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come onto the water. Come, Jesus says. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Extraordinary for verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cry out, Lord, save me. Jesus catches him. Now, it's not him. Peter has lost faith in himself. His faith in Jesus was strong enough to get him out of the boat and walking on water, but it wasn't strong enough to meet the threat of the storm. Strong enough to get him out of the boat and on the water, but not strong enough to withstand the threat of the storm. Jesus catches him. To get into the boat, and the wind that is released that stops. Jesus is in the boat now. All is calm. And the sea is no longer dangerous. And they do what they should do. Verse 33. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They bow down. They honor him. He is the King of Israel, the Son of God. And this is the first point in Mark's account of Jesus where some humans have done this. So it's quite an important step in his story. Some people finally started to recognize this about Jesus. So now the question is, what has happened here? What have we learnt about Jesus of Nazareth? What a supernatural event. Jesus is in control of the ordinary, in control of the regular. The sun coming up, the sun going down, the night time, day night, day night. He's above it all, he's supernatural. He can step in and do something out of the ordinary, something extraordinary. He can do something beyond the natural, supernatural. But why did he choose to do this action? A lake in a boat struggling, he could have made a forest of trees grow up on the shore just like that. And they could have just let that be a forest. That would have been amazing. And then they would have done a farm when they got to the shore. Why does he come on water like this? Again, it's a sign, it's a symbol. It's not just saying, well, I have power, but it fits with God's miraculous actions in the Old Testament. They go back to that time when God was rescuing his people from Egypt, taking them through the wilderness into the promised land. Just when they got out of Egypt, they got to the edge of the sea. Pharaoh and his army was chasing them. In front of them was a sea, and they were terrified. They were stuck in this. The sea was a danger to them. And God opened a path through the sea called the crossing of the Red Sea. You might have heard of it. God would get them to the new life with him. And so now we see in the same way Jesus saves his people from the sea, like Israel escaping from Egypt. Jesus will get us home with him. Jesus saves his people from the sea, like Israel escaping from Egypt. Jesus will get us home with him. So last week we saw Jesus was misunderstood. The people in his local area misunderstood him, Herod misunderstood him. In these episodes, his followers are growing in proper understanding. And they don't get it properly fully yet, but they're moving forward. Their faith is inadequate. He says to Peter, why is your faith so small? But it's growing. And we've seen in these episodes, Jesus feeds the crowds like Israel when they were escaping from Egypt. Jesus will get his people home to be with him in the new creation. Jesus saves his people from the sea like Israel escaping from Egypt. Jesus will get his people home to be with him in the new creation. In the last verse, passes off to Jesus' lab, and we see Jesus there cares for everyone. Verse 34, when they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the man at that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let his will just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. So Jesus' disciples, they had special access. They were close to him and saw his work up close. But Jesus is also there for everyone who will trust him. And he went to mix in with the ordinary people, not like the religious leaders of his day, who would stay away from them. Jesus of Nazareth will take us through to new life with him in the new creation. Will not be overcome on the way if we belong to him. So, three things to say about trusting Jesus, what we also call faith, to finish this. Trust or faith. First, it's not our power to do the supernatural. It's trusting Jesus to get us home. Trust or faith in Jesus is it's not our power to do the supernatural in this life. It's trusting Jesus to get us home. That's what we're seeking these two episodes. Do you want to have that trust? Do you want to have that confidence and that sense of assurance that Jesus can get you home? Well, trusting God comes from hearing his words. And we hear his word in the Bible. Come to the course this evening at 4 o'clock. Tell us unexpected. Come to a midweek group to look at the Bible together with others in our church. Those groups. I'll be very pleased to have a couple of questions sent to me this week by email from people in our church, questions about the Bible. I'm happy for more of those. You can ask others in church questions as you're reading the Bible so we can become clear. Was very helped towards the end of last year by anxiety, which I often struggle with, and was reduced by learning that if I stop just praying all the time about my anxiety and think a bit more about what I know about God, my anxiety reduced. It's right to pray, and we can pray, but if I'm just thinking about my anxiety, praying words just going round and round my head, because if I just stop thinking about Joel and think, who is God? What is he like? My faith, my trust, my assurance comforted me greatly. Trust or faith is not our power to do the supernatural, but trusting Jesus to get us home. Trust or faith is not without us doing things. Trust or faith is not without us doing things or action. So if we do trust him, we express that by joining in with his work. We see that the disciples, they went around with Jesus. They didn't just pop in to see Jesus when they needed some help with their kids' education, or they had a problem with a bill, or they had an injury. They went with him and stayed with him and learned. They joined in with his work. For us, that means being involved in the church family. If you're someone who trusts in Jesus, that trust will express itself and will work out because you're now connected to Jesus and you're part of his household. Welcoming people into church, serving tea and coffee, giving people a lift to and from church, helping in the Sunday school, or this little Sunday club, joining in where you can. So faith and trust in Jesus is not without action by us. So faith and trust in Jesus is not our supernatural power, it's trusting Jesus to get us home. It's not without action by us. And thirdly, faith and trust in Jesus is not believing Jesus will take us home without any troubles. But he will get us through the troubles to take us home. It's not that Jesus will take us home without any troubles. He will take us through the troubles to get us home. True Christian trust believes God's promises, and he has not promised that we will be without difficulty. The disciples were having difficulty on the sea, weren't they? They went through that. So they did stop him saying to them, "You give them something to eat." They didn't know what to do. They were stuck. That was difficult. But Jesus used that for them to learn, to discover something about him. During the pandemic, a member of our church family, you don't know, Shirley Jones, suffered with lung cancer. Was it Monday? Yeah, the second period of cancer. She recovered in the first period, but then she relapsed and she got very ill. And in her last weeks, minister, because she was in a hospice, so I was invited to go and speak to her. And all that she spoke to me, actually. And as she was dying, she'd lost an enormous amount of weight. You wouldn't really recognize her. Her body was such a different shape. But she had a very, very clear faith in Jesus. And she was confident that he was her saviour, and that when she died, she would be with him. And I came away from that meeting more encouraging she was, as she gave to me more than I gave to her, I'm sure. But God had saved her from that suffering. But through that difficult trial, her faith was growing, and he took her home. What have we learned of Jesus from Nazareth? He will bring his people home, like in the Old Testament, taken out of Egypt through the wilderness into the new creation. How are they going to get across the sea? God got them through the sea. Jesus is stronger than the sea. How are they going to eat in the wilderness? God gave them bread. Jesus provided for people in the wilderness in the same way. And those teachers, what it means to trust Jesus. We don't have supernatural power. Jesus has the power to take us home. And if we're with him, our faith is going to express itself in actions. And our faith will take us through difficult times. Not escape us out of all difficult times. Just have a minute to think about what I've said. God, we thank you that you have helped us to know Jesus of Nazareth better by reading about his extraordinary power, how he showed himself to be able to bring his people home. Please grow our trust in him. Trust that he really will take us home. Trust that then expresses itself, puts into practice by involvement in your ways. And I trust that clings to you and grows stronger even when we go through hard days. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.